Chase and Sanborn, in celebration of 100 years in the coffee business, brings you the Chase and Sanborn 100th Anniversary Show. Comedy gems from radio's finest hours. Chase and Sanborn Hours, starring the recorded voices of W.C. Fields, Fred Allen, Jimmy Durante, Eddie Cantor, Don Ameche, Nelson Eddy, Dorothy L'Amour, Rudy Valley, Ogden Nash, Alec Templeton, Rosalind Russell, Mary Pickford, Charles Lawton, Jack Oakey, Adolph Mongeau and Marie Teasdale, Major Bowes, Margaret O'Brien, Mae West, Ethel Barrymore, Jimmy Stewart, Carol Lombard, Clark Gable, and starring Edgar Bergen and Charlie Scott.
Thank you, Jimmy Wallington.
Well, Bergen, we came in last again.
Ah, well, in the winter of 1929 and 30, Chase and Sanborn Coffee started on the radio with the Chase and Sanborn Choral Orchestra. Then, about a year later, the era of big-name radio really began when Chase and Sanborn paid a hitherto unheard-of sum to Maurice Chevalier, who created radio's first great catchphrase. I am not going to sing it for you tomorrow. I am not going to sing it for you next week. I am not going to sing it for you next month. But right now.
And that's how a Swede imitates Maurice Chevalier.
Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little rose tells me it knows I love you. Love you every little bit that I feel in my heart seems to repeat what I felt at the start. Each little sign tells me that I adore you, Louise. Just to see and hear you is joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and through. Anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true someone like you could love me? Ah, Louise!
Mr. Chevalier was followed on the Chase and Sanborn Hour by Eddie Cantor. And Eddie Cantor's Chase and Sanborn Coffee Hour with Rubinoff became the biggest thing on the air.
And I was Eddie Cantor's straight man.
Everybody remembers Jimmy Wallington. He is our announcer for tonight.
There was hardly a big name in show business that didn't appear as a guest on Eddie Cantor's Chase and Sanborn Hour. And this is Eddie singing his famous theme song.
I love to spend each Sunday with you. As friend of friends, I'm sorry it's true. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way too. Let's make a date for next Sunday night. I'm here to stay. It will be my delight to sing again, bring again the things you want me to. I love to spend each Sunday with you.
Following Eddie Cantor, the Chase and Sanborn Hour was headed by that great comedian, Bert Lahr.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Wasn't he the one who had the whole country saying, gong, gong, gong?
That's right. Yeah.
And after Bert Lahr, another showbiz great took over the Chase and Sanborn Hour. Jimmy Durante.
What a man. When Paramount News was the eyes and ears of the world, Jimmy Durante was the nose.
And it was on the Chase and Sanborn Hour that Jimmy composed his famous song, Inka Dinka Doo.
Inka Dinka Doo, Inka Dinka Doo, Inka Dinka
Doo. All my tunes are crooning.
A dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkity.
He's got the whole world spooning.
Eskimo bells up in Iceland
are ringing.
They've made their own paradise land.
Singing.
Ink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkadee.
Simply mean dink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo.
Ding-a-ding-a-ding. That note was given to me by Bing Crosby, and was he glad to get rid of it? Simply means ding, a ding a ding, a ding a ding.
Charlie, isn't it wonderful to be back working for Chase and Sanborn?
And I'm still working for that same 75 cents.
Just think, we started 31 years ago.
Careful, Bergen. When you say that, you're dated.
And that's what we were selling. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in bags. You knew when you bought Chase and Sanborn that the coffee was fresh.
Too bad your jokes weren't.
Then came the vacuum packing. To ensure even greater freshness, they canned the coffee.
And then they canned us.
And now we're back. And Chase and Sanborn's putting Colombian beans in their coffee to make it richer than ever.
Richer than ever. That does it. I want a raise in my allowance.
Charlie, have you no sentiment?
No. And no money either.
Charlie, let's talk man to man.
Oh, Bergen, no. Not the birds and bees.
I'd just like to know, if I gave you more money, what would you do?
Do? I'd drop dead.
Gotta get on with the show, you know.
That is the voice of Major Bowes, creator of the original Major Bowes Amateur Hour. Remember, Charlie?
Yeah, I remember. He was the one who told us that before we could become amateurs, we needed more practice.
But we finally got a hearing.
From good old Rudy Valu.
Yes, it was Rudy Valley who had the showmanship to put us on the air.
It took more than showmanship. It took raw courage.
We sat in his office waiting to see him.
For 8 weeks we sat.
Are you sure this is Rudy Valley's office?
Oh, it must be. There's a picture of Rudy Valley looking at a picture of Rudy Valley.
Yes. Excellency, Rudy Valley. Will everybody rise, please? Welcome, your schoonership.
Mr. Valley, we came to talk to you about your radio program.
Yes, awfully good, isn't it?
Well, it's not that so much.
Just what are you fellows doing here?
Well, I'm a ventriloquist.
A what?
A ventriloquist. I talk through my stomach.
That's nothing. I sing through my nose. Acrobat, jugglers, now ventriloquist. I'd have everything thrown at me.
Even grapefruit.
Oh, this is a thankless job. I spend my days and nights looking for talent, high and low.
Oh, why don't you hire us?
I hadn't intended to look that low.
Well, we promised to work hard.
Well, are you reliable? You boys don't drink, do you?
No.
Drink? We hardly eat.
Well, I'm going to take a chance on you anyway, against my better judgment.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Valley, thank you. I deeply appreciate your generosity. Oh, stop licking his hand. All right. And now, Mr. Valley, what about money?
Oh, that's all right. You won't have to pay me anything.
It was right after that that Mr. Chase and Mr. Sanborn auditioned us and had this conversation.
Caleb, I like those boys. They're a nice blend. They're worthy of being on our coffee program.
Well, I like them too, Mr. Sanborn, but I understand that Bergen and McCarthy are asking $300 a week.
Oh, they are. Well, let's just hire the little fellow, McCarthy. He's the funny one.
What a show we had. Don Amici was our host. Nelson Eddy was our star singer. And Dorothy Lamour...
Ah, Dottie. I was Dottie only Dottie.
And everybody loved each other. Didn't they, Charlie?
Are you kidding, Bergen?
Ah, hello, Edgar.
If it isn't up to see. The original half-man, half-nose wear.
Well, Charlie McCarthy, the woodpecker's pin-up boy. You know, Edgar, it's touching to see your affection for the little nipper. It strikes a tender chord in my heart.
Oh, thank you, Bill. You know, I thought you didn't like children.
Oh, not at all, Edgar. I love children. I can remember when, with my own little unsteady legs, I toddled from room to room.
When was that, last night?
quiet, Wormwood, or I'll whittle you down to a coat hanger.
Yes.
Tell me, Charles, is it true your father was a gate-legged table?
If it is, your father was under it, or...
Why, you stunted spruce. I'll throw a Japanese beetle on you.
Why, you barfly, you. I'll stick a wick in your mouth and use you for an alcohol lamp.
All the time we were on the air for Chase and Sanborn, Rosalind Russell was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I meant as a guest.
Oh, I meant as a girl.
Charlie, I have a confession to make. Yeah. I've heard so many charming things about you, I made up my mind not to like you. But there's no use denying it. I can't resist you.
You can't fight those things, dearie.
She loves me.
I know what you're going through, my
friend. You're wonderful, Charlie. You have charm, personality, savoir faire, your perfection.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
And yet you must have some faults.
I can't think of a thing.
You're the ideal type, Charlie, except perhaps for one thing.
One thing? Oh, well, there might be one, yeah.
I like everything but your red hair. I never cared much for men with red hair.
Yeah. Oh, you don't, huh?
No.
Well, I can wear a coupe.
Coupe.
All right, you backseat driver, all right.
I found another thing wrong, Charlie. Why do you wear that monocle?
Well, you see, my right eye is just a wee bit weak, you know.
Oh, I see. Yes. Has it always been weak?
Yes, it has. Ever since a fist flew in it.
Oh, but Charlie, a monocle is such an affectation.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And it's dignified, too.
Well, why don't you be very dignified and wear one in each eye?
Oh, what, make a spectacle out of myself? Oh, Miss Russell, if there's one thing I pride myself on, it's my dress. I'm absolutely impeccable, I might say. I think I will. I like it, isn't it?
Really, Charlie, you may consider yourself a Beau Brummel, but to me you look more like, more like a butler.
Oh? Huh?
Can you buttle?
I'll split one with you.
Charlie, I'd like to have you meet Miss Caroline O'Connor.
Hello there, Miss O'Connor. May I call you Caroline?
Why not, Charlie, since we both work for Chase and Sanborn.
Yeah. And I can feel employee relations improving every minute.
Charlie, please, let's keep this on a business basis.
Caroline, I assure you, I mean business. Can't we go someplace for a cup of coffee?
We'll take Chase and Sanborn, of course.
But three's a crowd.
See, that reminds me. You know it takes 3 pounds of coffee beans to make 1 pound of instant Chase and Sanborn?
Commercials, commercials.
Which kind of coffee do you prefer, Charlie? Instant? Or regular?
Whatever you're serving, Caroline.
As long as it's Chase and Sanborn.
As long as it's for breakfast.
Sure.
Caroline, you must excuse Charlie. Sometimes I don't know what to do with him.
I understand, Edgar. Why don't you and I go somewhere and discuss it over a cup of Chase and Sanborn?
Wait for baby.
Charlie, I want you to know that I haven't forgotten that you once advertised for another ventriloquist.
Yeah, I advertised in the Hobo News, and Fred Allen showed up.
Pardon me, are you Mr. McCarty?
Yes, I am, yes.
I saw your ad in the Hobo News, and I've come to see about the job.
Yeah, well, frankly, you look like the kind who would answer an ad for a ventriloquist. What's the matter with your eyes? Do they have fallen arches?
No, I just wear my jowls high. You may have heard of me, Mr. McCarthy. My name is Fred Allen.
Yeah, the name is familiar. You aren't wanted, are you?
No.
Well, tell me this. Are you new in radio?
New? Why, bless you, my little man. I was in radio when you were just a gleam in an acorn's eye.
That's very amusing.
I thought so.
Mr. Allen, you haven't been working much lately, have you?
No, I've been taking it easy, Mr. McCarthy. After my many years of success in radio, I had something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm. And now you've decided to get up off it. You realize, Mr. Mr. Allen, me splitting with Bergen is a drastic step.
But, Mr. McCarthy, what radio needs today is new faces.
Yeah, well, if you can get one, come back and I'll talk to you.
Now, wait a minute. Bergen is no Adonis, you know. He has the profile of an avocado.
You know, there's something about you I like. You know, I think I can do great things for you.
Well, tell me, Mr. McCarthy, when we work together, will I ever get any laughs?
Well,
maybe just one little chuckle?
Maybe.
Oh, sir, you are a prince. Let me kiss the hem of your tuxedo.
It's a tailcoat.
I shall throw you the kiss. About to become a straight man for a talking shoe tree.
What about the art of ventriloquism? Can you throw your voice?
Well, not exactly throw it. I let it slide gently down one nostril and bank it off the other nostril. I make it the hard way.
Well, Charlie, what's going on here?
Well, I can tell you better what's going off here.
Well, if it isn't Fred Allen, say, I'm glad to see you, Fred.
Well, hello, Edgar.
Say, how does it seem to take a long vacation?
You'll find out, brother.
Say, remember, Edgar, back in our vaudeville days when we played that split week at McKee's Fort?
Yes. Say, remember that silly girl who used to work in your act?
Oh, boy, was she dumb.
Oh, whatever happened to her?
I married her.
You can take your foot out of it now, Bertie.
Oh, he won't take offense. Why, it's always made me feel proud to count Fred as one of my friends.
Well, you can get ready for a recount now, brother.
Hey, what are you hinting at?
Well, you may not know it, but from now on, you're doing a single, Bergen. Hey, Fred?
That's right, partner.
Oh, I see. So that's it. You too.
Yeah.
Well, what about this, Fred?
I'm hungry, Edgar.
Yes, but you doing ventriloquism.
Well, it's embarrassing, I know. I never thought I'd have to stoop so low.
Low? Ventriloquism is one of the oldest forms of entertainment. Why, it was practiced by the ancient Greeks. Ventriloquists were even found up among the Eskimos.
They weren't found up there, they were chased up there.
Now, just a minute, Fred. Surely you wouldn't do this to an old friend?
I sure would, stranger.
There was never a dull moment.
Remember the time Mae West came to see us? Wow.
Oh, hello, short, dark, and handsome.
Hello, tall, blonde, and terrific.
Say, Charlie, do you smell that perfume?
Yeah.
Isn't it ravishing?
Yes, it is. It's ravishing. It's weakening. So help me, I'm swooning. What is it?
Why, it's my favorite perfume, Ashes of Men.
Ashes of Men. Holy smoke. She's not going to make a cinder out of me.
Oh. Charlie, why don't you walk out on Bergen? What's holding you?
Well, he is.
Oh, you look pretty good to me, Charlie. Come here.
But I thought you only liked tall men.
Oh, that was my last year's model. This year I'm on a diet.
Oh, so that's it. You're on a diet.
Tell me, Miss West, have you ever found the one man in your life that you could really love?
Sure, lots of times.
Could you even like Mr. Bergen?
I'm liable to take him away from you. Then what do you say?
Well, if you take Bergen away, I'm speechless.
You ain't afraid I'll do you wrong?
Well, now that you ask, I...
Oh, you're afraid I'll do you right.
Well, I'm slightly confused. I need time for that one, Mae.
That's all right. I like a man what takes his time.
Well... I'm not feeling very well tonight. I've been so nervous lately. I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Wait, there I go. Oh.
So, good time Charlie's going to play hard to get. I've got a reputation at stake. No man walks out on me. They might carry them out, but they never walk out of me.
I'm mad about you. I love you. I've acted like a fool.
That wasn't acting. Come here. I'll show you how to act.
Oh, but May, don't be so rough. To me, love is peace and quiet.
That ain't love. That's sleep.
You did some very foolish things, Charlie.
Yeah. You should have known better than to say some of the things I said, Bergen. take the time I told Marie Teasdale her husband was a fish peddler.
Charlie, I want to explain to you that Mr. Manjo and Miss Teasdale are...
What about Miss Teasdale?
Oh, you'll find out. You know, Miss Teasdale is not the girl you think she is.
Well, that's very interesting information. Do you know her well?
Did you know she was married?
Well, I slightly suspected it.
Yeah. Do you know her husband?
Well, not very well. Do you?
Oh, you should. You should for laughs, you know? You see, he's very jealous, see? And what makes it worse, he's ignorant, too.
Yes. I see, a rather disagreeable sort of fellow.
Oh, the guy knows from nothing. He's a fish peddler.
A fish peddler, yes. I see.
Yeah, you can't afford to be seen going around with her. It'll get in the papers, you know, and it won't read well. What will her husband say, see?
Well, that's a thought. I don't know why he's kept quiet this long.
No. The guy is too busy selling fish. Sandab Teasdale, they call him.
There's only one way to clear this, Charlie. I'm going to call Miss Teasdale over and make her tell the truth.
Oh, come. Why not use tact? Just sort of fade out of her life. Bergen, will you please stop?
Marie?
Yes?
Would you mind coming over here?
You called me, dear? What is it, darling?
Dear, darling, what is it?
Marie, Charlie tells me that you said your husband was a fish peddler.
Oh, he did.
Yes, dear.
I don't know.
There are many things you don't know, young man. Yes. And one thing you don't know is that Miss Teasdale is my wife.
Yeah, Miss Teasdale. Bergen, why didn't you nudge me?
One thing you must admit, Charlie, I tried to do what was good for you.
Yes, you did, Bergen, and I tried to do you good, too.
Remember that famous piano player, Alec Templeton? He did one thing I shall never forget.
What's that?
Here it is, Charlie.
You are familiar with The Lost Chord. Well, it was originally composed by Sir Arthur Sullivan. And when he wrote it, it sounded like this. Seated one day at the organ, I was weary and ill at ease, and my fingers wandered idly over the noisy keys. I struck one chord of music like the sound of a great amen. Well, that same Sir Arthur Sullivan wrote all the music for the Gilbert and Sullivan operas. And this is my idea of The Lost Chord, had it been written by Gilbert and Sullivan and not Sir Arthur. I never sit any day at the organ. I'm never, never ill at ease. My fingers never wander idly over any of the noisy keys. A particularly jovial fellow. I'm never, never known to be bored. And let me explain to my fellows one and all, I've never, never lost a chord. I've never, never lost a chord. I've never, 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 hardly ever, really ever known, never, hardly ever lost a chord. A particularly jovial fellow and never, never known to be bored. Never sit any day at the organ and never, never lost a chord. I've never, never lost. Never, 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 hardly ever, really ever knows, never, hardly ever, tell him, never knows, never, really ever, hardly ever lost a chord. He has never lost a chord.
Caroline, Effie Clinker has something she'd like to talk to you about.
Yes, Effie?
Mr. Bergen, could we be alone?
Oh, good. Girl talk.
No, boy talk. You're married, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
How did you do it?
I had help.
Oh, who?
Mr. Chase and Mr. Sanborn.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, Effie, what Mr. Chase didn't know about coffee, Mr. Sanborn did.
Well, what's coffee got to do with getting a man?
Everything. When you serve a man, you instant Chase and Sanborn... You've got him.
Well, go on, go on, go on.
It takes 3 pounds of coffee beans to make 1 pound of new instant Chase and Sanborn.
Yes, yes.
That's what makes it so rich.
Oh, he's rich, too?
No, it's instant Chase and Sanborn that's rich. And if he should happen to like a caffeine-free coffee, you can serve him Chase and Sanborn's instant siesta. That way, he can have his coffee and sleep, too.
Who wants him to sleep?
The Jason Sanborn 100th Anniversary Show will continue after a 10-second pause for station identification.
This is NBC Radio for the Midland Empire, KGHL in Billings, Montana. Tall Tower Power from 790 on your radio dial.
We continue now with the second half of the Jason Sanborn 100th Anniversary Show, starring Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
I must say, Charlie, we had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Yes, you did. You did. The thing I liked most about the show, Bergen, was when Carol Lombard showed up. How that girl loved me.
What would you think of someone who said sweet things to you, who made you fall in love with him and discarded you like a broken toy? What happened to that undying love?
I guess it died. I don't know.
You're a trifler. You're a destroyer of faith. Do you know what it means to sit home alone?
It means there's nobody with you.
You know, night after night, I called you, and you never talked to me.
How could I? Bergen wasn't at home.
Lonely, lonely hours listening to the clock ticking away.
Yeah.
Tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick.
Tock, tick. How does it strike, Uku?
You know, darling, wherever I look, I see you. I look into the fireplace.
Oh, no, not there. Not in the fireplace, please. No.
Believe me, everywhere I look, I see your face.
Have you really missed me that much, Carol?
Missed you? Oh, I've tried so many ways to forget you.
Name four.
I play golf, and I go on yachting parties,
uh-huh.
Take skiing trips, and I go to the theater,
mm-hmm.
And yet I miss you.
Yeah, well, you certainly have a good time missing me, aren't you?
Oh, but when I dance with somebody else, I always imagine it's you. And when I kiss someone else, I always imagine it's you.
We've had a lot of fun together, I imagine.
You know, I was wasting away for the love of you. For a while, I was sure I was going mad. But thank heavens, I'm comforted by my elixir of herbs.
Oh, who is this guy, elixir? Has he got money?
No, darling, you don't understand. Elixir of herbs is my tonic. You know, I sit in my room with a bottle of tonic by my side.
Uh-huh.
And yet, though I know you're not there, well, wherever I look, I see you.
Yes.
Sitting on the chandelier.
Yes.
Standing on the ceiling. Do you know what I think?
No, but I think you better go easy on a tonic. That's what...
You got to admit, I came across as a lover, Bergen.
Yes, Charlie, but what about that love-making contest you had with Clark Gable?
Oh, Bergen, you wouldn't dare.
So you're Charlie McCarthy?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're Clark Gable.
Well, I'm Edgar Bergen.
So what?
Between us, Charlie, to what do you attribute your great success as a Casanova? Will you tell me?
Well, now,
I don't know. Come on, you can be frank with me.
Yes, I know, but does Gobble tell Dietrich?
Well, I'll keep it a secret, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what I'll do. If you tell me your system, I'll tell you mine.
Of course, I'm giving more than I'm getting here. I'm so generous.
Yes, of course.
Now, how do you operate?
Well, Charlie, now, my method is, it's quieter. Dinner invitations and romantic speeches.
Uh-huh. I still say your personality is the answer. Now, I'll call Dorothy L'Amour over, and when I smile in her eyes, watch her swoon.
Yes. Yes, you do that, Charlie, and I'll show you how I take her away from you.
Gentlemen, is this a private contest?
Why, no. Have you anything to contribute, Mr. Eddie?
Yes, I have. You've forgotten the most important of all systems.
Huh?
A song is the way to a woman's heart.
All right, Nelson. We'll give you a chance to prove it.
Well, now, fellows, I'll show you the difference between winning a girl and making a fool of yourself.
Charlie.
Mr. Eddie has something to say to you.
Dorothy, do you enjoy the old love songs?
Yes, I do, Nelson. I think they're beautiful.
Well, I have only this to say. Just a song at twilight when the lights are low.
That's very lovely, Nelson. But don't strain your voice.
May I sing the rest of it to you when we go out this evening?
I'm sorry, Nelson, not this evening.
What do you do for an encore, Nelson?
Why don't you mail her a copy of the song? All right, batter up. Mr. Gable, next.
Dorothy, your eyes are alight with the dark beauty of the ages.
Thank you, Clark.
You walk like a goddess. Come down amongst men.
Thank you, Clark.
Will you join me for dinner tonight?
No, thank you, Clark. Not this evening.
The score is nothing to nothing. And it's the last half of the ninth. Home run McCarthy coming up. Dotty, darling.
Yes, Charlie, dear.
Tell the gentleman why you wouldn't go out with him this evening.
Because I have a date, Charlie, darling. With Edgar Bergen.
Wow.
We've gone through a lot together, Charlie.
Yes, we have.
But nothing's changed. Same good feelings, same good friends.
Mr. Bergen, I want you to meet my legal representative, Donaldo Amicholo Gazzolo.
How do you do, Gazzolo?
Shut up. Remember, Bergen, from now on, anything you say is going to be held against me.
What's the meaning of all this?
Bergen, I sum it up with a kiss. You pay my climate to Charlie McCarthy only 50 cents a week. That's not enough. My climate to Charlie McCarthy's got to have it $1 a week, right?
Right.
You want to settle? All right. You don't want to settle? We're settling you.
You mean you're going to press this suit?
We're pressing the suit that will sponge you out.
Bergen, we're going to take you to the cleaners. That's what we're
going to do. Well, gentlemen, I'm willing to give Charlie $1 a week on one condition.
Uh-oh. Make a note of this, Gazzolo.
Yeah. Be mutually agreed that payment shall be made pro rata, part-time, part-payment, per year, per...
Do you really know who I am? Of course I do.
Oh.
I just want you to know how very much I've enjoyed your carefree wit.
Oh, my wit, eh? Well, meet my other half here. Mr. Bergen.
How do you do?
Well, really, Miss Pickford, I do very little, but I do try to make a gentleman of Charlie. He handles the truth rather carelessly. He was giving us a tall story about having met you in India.
Yeah, well, I was all...
Charlie, how could you say a thing like that? Oh. India, indeed. Now, you know very well it was Baden-Baden, and let me see, and then again in Pango-Pango.
Of course, indeed. I get it. Double talk, huh?
Yes.
Oh, come. Let's talk about those days. Won't you sit down, Miss Pickford?
Oh, yes, thank you. But where?
Well, Bergen's other knee, you know. We just use them around here to sit on.
Yes, really.
Did you have a pleasant trip from Honolulu and the China Clipper, Miss Pickford?
One of the most glorious adventures of my life, Charlie. I was perfectly fascinated by the instruments on the China Clipper.
Oh, it's all very simple. I have some of them on my plane, too, you know.
And all those various levers, too.
Oh, yes. Everyone. I'm a lover of levers.
Yes.
I have a lever for oil, a lever for gasoline, a cab's lever. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. And a lever for coffee. Mm.
Now, Charlie, coffee doesn't make airplanes go.
No, but it keeps Bergen and me going.
I'll tell you this, Charlie. There were some actors who took no nonsense from you.
Oh, yeah? Name one.
Charles Laughton.
Name another.
No, I'll stand pat with Charles Laughton.
Hello, Charles. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Mr. Laughton, as you probably remember... We didn't hit it off so very well last time.
No, we didn't.
Oh.
But we both behaved rather badly.
Yes, we did, yes. Thought you were particularly nasty.
Charlie, just
apologize, please.
Oh, yes, apologize. Very well, Mr. Lawton. I apologize for what I said the last time.
Well, that's very generous of you, Charlie.
Yes, it is. I'll go even further than that, Mr. Lawton. I'll apologize for what I'm going to say to you today.
Start again, because I
don't blame you at all, no, Charlie. I think you're missing a great opportunity.
Oh, I'll get him. No.
Well, I mean... this whole thing is starting wrong. Your friendship with Mr. Lawton might have developed into one of those famous, well, as famous as Miles Standish and Captain John Smith.
Damon and Pythias.
Mm. Chase and Sanborn.
Shut up with that stuff.
See, he starts it all the time. Mr. Lawton.
Yes. Yeah, yes, old boy?
Is it true, Mr. Lawton, that you played the Hunchback of Notre Dame without any makeup?
But look here, Bergen, I can't stop you. I can't do anything with him. You're welcome to him.
Thank you.
As for you, I'm sorry you ever met me. Hope I never see you again.
It's a date.
Jimmy, hasn't this all been wonderful?
Terrific. I just wish everybody could join in and celebrate Chase and Sanborn's 100th anniversary with us.
Oh, they can. Chase and Sanborn seem to that. With their big 100th anniversary coffee sale.
Of course. Friends, right now at your grocer's, you can get Chase and Sanborn coffees at amazingly low, low prices. Rich and hearty roasted Chase and Sanborn.
And brand new, deliciously new, instant Chase and Sanborn.
Now, Chase and Sanborn's famous roasted coffee is blended with nectar-rich Colombian beans for richer, more rewarding flavor.
And Chase and Sanborn's new instant is so rich... It takes 3 pounds of coffee beans, including those expensive Colombian beans, to make just 1 pound of the instant.
Try them both. Two great, great coffees at low, low prices.
And save while the big sale's on.
Remember, what Mr. Chase didn't know about coffee...
Mr. Sanborn did.
Do you remember, Charlie, what happened when you decided to leave me and go to work for another ventriloquist?
Yeah, and you got Mortimer Snerd, you rat.
Your name, please, sir. My name? Well, it always has been. What was the query?
Your name is Mortimer Snerd.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And now for our other expert on this farm panel, your name, please.
Well, my name is, I know as well as I know my own name. What was the query?
Your name, sir.
Oh, yeah, Zeke Stewart.
Yeah. Gentlemen, greetings and salutations. Well, thank you. I don't mind if I do. Yeah.
I'll go along with that.
Mind if I go with you?
No.
Gentlemen, please. This is a forum. Now, what is your opinion on agriculture?
Well, it's my opinion that no farm should be without it.
I'll go along with that.
Get there first, wait for me, huh? Yeah,
No. We must have some helpful information. Now, well, Mr. Snerd, what is your idea on increasing milk production?
I'm glad you asked me, yeah. Increasing milk production. You got to get a cow. You got to do that. You'll go along with me on that, won't you, Zeke?
Yeah. It should be a female cow.
Yeah.
Perhaps I'll do better if I explain parity. Parity is equality in purchasing power between different kinds of money at a given ratio.
No!
I'll go along with Zeke's opinion, yeah.
Look, gentlemen, in other words, if a bushel of corn costs $2 under present conditions... Do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, it's like this.
I haven't asked the question yet.
Well, I ain't a fellow they're wasting till the last minute. All right.
Time to waste them, that's for dang sure. I like you, Mort. You're nobody's fool.
Well, nobody's in particular, anyway. Well, that's for dang sure.
Yeah, we ought to get along fine. We understand each other.
Who do?
You and me.
Oh, them, yeah.
Gentlemen, if a bushel of corn,
now get this.
I like you, Mort. let's get together sometime, Mort.
Okay, where?
Well, we can decide that when we get there. Anyway, I hope to see you sometime, Mort.
Well, yeah, then some other time I can see you. Yeah. If we change off like that, we won't get so sick of seeing each other. Of corn. Well, how about coming over to my farm, Zeke?
Okay, where is it?
Well, I'll tell you how to get there if you don't mind getting lost. Oh, yeah.
How far is it? Does the crow fly?
Oh, it's about. Well, you ain't coming by crow, are you?
Sorry, gentlemen, but our time is up.
You know, Charlie, nobody ever believed all those love affairs of yours.
They were all true, Bergen, so help me. I was true to them all.
There was one special one, Charlie.
Oh, you mean Margaret O'Brien?
Yes.
Oh, come, Bergen. She was just a child.
Margaret, you're the youngest star out at MGM, aren't you?
Oh, no. There's Lassie.
Lassie? Yes. Well, Margaret, are you and Charlie very good friends?
Yes, Mr. Bergen, mm-hmm. But it's purely platonic.
Yeah.
Isn't she cute?
Yes. Tell me, how old are you, Margaret?
I'm 7 years old.
7 years old. She carries her age well, doesn't she?
Hey, Bergen, how about that time Jack Oakey came over and we let Don Amici mow him down? What a vaudeville team that made.
I can see the billing now. Oakey, and Amici.
Amici and Oakey.
Jack Oakey and company, those corny kids.
The From Hunger Boys.
The spreading cheer.
Far and near.
Songs, dances, quips, sallies, and funny sayings, and freshly laid eggs.
That's very hokey, Oakey.
Mm-hmm. That's getting tougher every day. Well, tell me, are you with me?
You think we'll ever replace the old-fashioned screen-o?
Don't worry, Don. Listen, we'll break the act right in here. Right out of the book, routine number 36. You got it?
Well, you asked for it.
All right. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Let's go see a vaudeville show.
You sing a dance?
I'll take a chance.
Okay, Professor. Let's go.
Bum, dum, 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 dum. We were strolling through the park one day.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
I got a dog named Ginger.
Does Ginger bite?
No, Ginger snaps.
In the very merry month of June.
Don?
My uncle's got a new job. He's a kitchen blacksmith.
That's all, kitchen blacksmith. What does he do?
He shoots flies.
Ah!
We were taken by surprise by a pair of rope we shine.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
I'm having a lot of trouble with that new washing machine down at the house.
What's the matter with it?
Every time I get in to take a bath, the panel's knocking me off my feet. Stop, Don.
Look out, Jack. We were...
This evening, we welcome among us for the first time... Ogden Nash. The first to inoculate the muse with the blind staggers, he stands today alone. The premier murderer of the King's English to suit the Queen's taste. Greetings, Ogden Nash.
Well, Don, I want to say I'm as happy as any child or any woman or any man born to be with you this evening on Chase and Sanborn.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, Ogden. But don't expect me to answer in rhyme.
You could do verse.
We had many great ladies of the theater visit us, Charlie.
Yeah, and many great gals, too.
Which one did you think was the greatest?
Well, if you're talking about gals, I won't talk. I'm a gentleman at all times. If you're talking about ladies...
You are Charles McCarthy?
Yes, ma'am, and you are Ethel Barrymore.
What is this matter of life and death you wanted to see me about, Charles?
Yeah, well, Miss
Barrymore, what Charlie's trying to say is that he and his pals have a club.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And we call it the Royal Order of Rat Sluggers and Shakespearean Players. And we're putting on a play for a needy cause.
What is the needy cause?
Well, it's cause we need it. It's for our summer camp.
Well, I think that's splendid. I'll do all I can to help you.
Oh, see? Oh, Miss Barrymore, you are so generous.
No, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
All right, you win. Yes.
Well, Miss Barrymore, it's awfully nice of you to give your valuable time to this little venture. Well,
they sound like good boys, and they're showing such good taste in choosing Shakespeare.
Yes, see. To show our appreciation, we would like to have you play a part in our show.
Oh, that's very kind of you, but think of my reputation. Think of my future.
Yes, but think of the money we'll take in, too. We might even be able to make it worth your while. What is your salary, roughly?
Well, roughly, Charlie, it runs into four figures.
Four figures?
Mm.
That's a bit rough, isn't it? How does $10.25 sound to you?
Charlie.
Well, that's four figures.
Circumstances, I'll be willing to forget half my salary.
Good. And I'll forget the other half.
Now, before we go any further, just who is in the cast?
Well, I trod the boards in Sweden.
Oh, you trod the smorgasbord. Did you ever play the part of the melancholy Dane?
No, he didn't. But he was awfully good as the slap-happy Swede. Don't be too harsh, my pal. Remember, as our friend Shakespeare said, do not strain your mercy or you'll ruin the quality.
No, no. No,
the quality of strained mercy is not what it's cracked up.
No, no, Charlie, not really. That's not a bit like it.
Stepping on my line.
Well, I meant to, Charlie.
Wasn't I?
Yes, you were warned, darling. Yes. Now, listen, Charlie.
Yes.
It's really very easy. Now, listen. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. It is mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes a throned monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty, wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptred sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself.
Excuse me, Mortimer. Could I have that microphone, please?
Oh, is it yours?
Well, I needed to tell everybody about Jason Sanborn Coffee. Do you mind?
Well, I don't, if Jason Sanborn knows.
Jason Sanborn has been making fine coffee for 100 years. And this is their best cup yet.
Finally found out how, eh?
But Jason Sanborn's always improving their coffee. And now it's richer than ever. They've blended in Colombian beans.
Colombian beans?
No, Mortimer, Colombian.
Well, that's what I said, Colombian.
Well, that's better. Those nectar-rich Colombian beans make Chasen Sanborn so rich, they transform this coffee by what seems sheer legerdemain into an ambrosial brew that is, in truth, fit for the palate of a gourmet.
No! Would you drag that past again, Mr. Wallington?
I'd be glad to. Chasen Sanborn tastes good.
Well, now, why didn't you say that in the first place?
Well, Charlie, as we look back over the years, what have you got to say?
Well, if I had my life to live over again, I'd make the same mistakes. Only I'd start sooner.
Well, it's been fun.
And it's still fun.
Let's wish Jason Sanborn another happy 100 years.
And I hope you make it too, Bertie.
Good night, everybody, and good coffee. Chase the Sambo, of course.
Good night.
Just heard the Chase and Sanborn 100th Anniversary Show, part of Chase and Sanborn's celebration of 100 years of coffee perfection. Written, edited, and produced by Carol Carroll and Daniel Sutton. This is the NBC Radio Network.
This is NBC for the Midland Empire, KGHL, Billings, Montana, 790 on the radio dial.
Man, have you heard the news about Scott's checks? The new kind of checking account. We'll give you a bright new penny just for coming in and asking about them. Scott's checks. They were invented for folks who thought they couldn't afford a checking account because they'd need only a few checks a month. But now, with new Scott's checks, you pay only a dime for each check you actually use. You write none, you pay nothing. There is no service charge, no minimum balance requirement. Man, that's thrift. Hop down today and find out all about Scott's checks. Remember, we'll give you a bright new penny just for asking about them.
We're here to help you get what you want. Yes, sir. Yes, we're the bank with the S address, the Billings State Bank says yes.
Currently 27 degrees atop KGHL Weather Tower, 6 o'clock.
This is NBC News. Goldwater considers Senator Dirksen and Representative Halleck leaders of the GOP.
NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by Time, the weekly news magazine. Rewarding reading each week for 8 million informed American families. Here's Wilson Hall.
Senator Barry Goldwater returned from a week's Caribbean vacation tonight, told reporters in Washington that he considers Republican Senator Everett Dirksen and Republican Charles Halleck as leaders of the GOP. Both congressional minority leaders actively supported the Arizona senator during the campaign. Goldwater also came to the defense of Dean Birch, the chairman of the Republican National Committee. He said Birch is under contract to the party for 4 years and should serve that term. There have been demands from many liberal Republicans that Birch resign. Goldwater was accompanied by his wife, his running mate, William Miller. Goldwater, as he said goodbye to Miller, suggested he brush up on his gin rummy. President and Mrs. Johnson arrived in Washington from the LBJ Ranch, where they've been since his landslide election triumph. Most cabinet members and their wives were on the White House lawn to greet the chief executive and the first lady. This week, Mr. Johnson will work on the new legislative program he will offer to Congress in January. Mrs. Johnson has let it be known that she has already done her Christmas shopping. We'll start working on plans for the inaugural week. More news after this message from Time, the weekly news magazine.
In The Winter's Tale, William Shakespeare wrote of unpathed waters, undreamed shores. Today, Shakespeare's words might refer to the uncharted reaches of space or to the many other new frontiers that scientists are exploring. Each week in its science section, Time, the weekly news magazine, examines this world of discovery and development. Time's reports range from the extensive uses of computers to speculation about life on other planets, engineering advances in bridges, and new techniques in oceanography. A reader whose major interest is science finds that Time reports the news of his field more completely than any but a professional journal. But Time's science section is not expressly written for scientists. It is written to be read by thoughtful people everywhere who are interested in the news of the whole world's week. And each week, Time, the weekly news magazine, is read and relied upon by over 8 million such interested American families.
Once again, Wilson Hall.
Former President Harry Truman says he thinks General Douglas MacArthur could have been President of the United States if General MacArthur had stuck to his military duties. In the second program of a television series, Decision, The Conflicts of Harry S. Truman, the former president says the only thing that barred the White House to MacArthur was the general himself. Truman says of the firing of MacArthur during the Korean War, When the authority of the President of the United States is interfered with by anybody, the President has to establish that authority. Commenting on other presidents, Mr. Truman contends that the military men that the United States has had for presidents were not successes. That includes, says Mr. Truman, General Eisenhower. In San Juan, Puerto Rico, a man who led nationalists in an attempt to assassinate Mr. Truman was pardoned today. Pedro Albizu Campos was pardoned by the governor of Puerto Rico because he is no longer considered a liberty, a risk to public peace. Albizu is 74 years old, is confined to bed, has been partially paralyzed since 1956. 10 years ago, Puerto Rican nationalists demonstrated on the floor of the U.S. Congress and tried to assassinate Mr. Truman. It was assumed at the time that Albizu either aided or knew about the attacks on Mr. Truman. Women are getting a dirty deal in the nation's workforce, and it's because men are prejudiced against women workers. This appraisal today from a woman who should know, Mrs. Mary Kaeserling of the Labor Department's Women's Bureau. Mrs. Kaeserling says women, about 45% of whom are holding jobs in the United States, women are being paid only 3/5 of what men are being paid for the same jobs. As a result of male prejudice, female workers are being concentrated in lower-paid, less-skilled jobs. One statistic to back this claim, only 3% of the American working women make more than $7,000 a year. Wilson Hall, NBC News, New York.
For 65, a spectacular new size Rambler Classic Wagon. New long lines, powerful new Torque Command 6, and V8 options up to 270 horsepower. Yet you still enjoy sensible Rambler handling ease and gasoline economy. Test drive the new size Rambler Classic Wagon at your Rambler dealer now.
Listen again on the hour for Monitor News brought to you by Rambler 65 at Rambler dealers now.
Whatever anyone says, Monitor knows with absolute certainty that chivalry is not dead. The proof was in the behavior this week of a 22-year-old student at the University of Sussex near Brighton, England. The student saw Queen Elizabeth walking along a path which ahead of her was dappled with puddles. So he stripped off his raincoat and covered one of the puddles. The Queen smiled, stepped on the boy's coat, and walked on her way. Well, that's chivalry in the 20th century. But remember, Sir Walter Raleigh, who set the precedent for that act, ultimately lost his head. This is the season when the bird is on the wing. One such bird, Monitor notes, is the whistling swan heading southeast from the Great Lakes across Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and western New York. Now, whistling swans are extremely pretty birds, and they're an enormous hazard to flying airplanes. So pilots, this week be on the alert for whistles. I'm Frank Blair, alert to whistles and anything else. Next up on Monitor is a close look at what's happening in Moscow. I'll be talking directly with NBC's Frank Burgholzer. First, Werner Mueller reminds us that there's nothing which can replace a young lady. NBC's Frank Burgholzer has just arrived back in Paris after a short visit to Moscow. He is on the line with us now and is, as I know, Frank Burgholzer, full of impressions he picked up during these days of historic change in the Kremlin. Good to talk with you, Frank.
Good to hear you, Frank.
Thank you. Now, how do you assess the recent developments in the Moscow-Peking axis?
Well, the story that was going around Moscow as I left, Frank, was rather an interesting development. As you know, a great deal of guessing really began to come out of Moscow that there was going to be a great rapprochement, that the Chinese and the Russians, now that Khrushchev was gone, would be getting together and fixing things up. And as the days went by, it seemed less and less likely that this really was in the cards. And the last story, as I say, just before I left, was that apparently the Chinese and the Russians misunderstood each other's motives. That is to say, the Chinese, when the Russians invited them to send Zhou Enlai to the 47th anniversary of the revolution, thought the Russians were ready to give in on the ideological and other arguments. And the Russians, when the Chinese accepted to send Zhou Enlai, thought that the Chinese were ready to give in on the arguments.
Mm.
And they got to Moscow and talked about it and discovered that each one had misunderstood the other. And apparently, to a great extent at least, Zhou Enlai left Moscow without anything fundamentally having been changed.
Well, on the other hand, we had the feeling over here, Frank, that Zhou went back with the idea that there would be a meeting in Peking, that he took back certain concessions with him. Is this not true?
Well, it isn't quite true. It is true that the decision that seems to have been made not to have the meeting which was so opposed by the Chinese, that is, the meeting to prepare for a world conference of communist parties. But this decision was taken before Zhou Enlai ever got to Moscow. This decision was taken under the pressure of the other communist parties who didn't really like the idea of having a showdown in December as it had been originally planned by Khrushchev. And the dismissal of Khrushchev from his position of power made it possible for the new leaders in the Soviet Union to...